Hasn't it been a good day? Amen. Sure is wonderful to come to church. Put this down so the pollywogs won't eat it. If you did not get a handout when you came in, raise your hand. Let us give you one. You need one for the message as well as for this week. So just keep your hand up. Our men are right on the ball here. They have the handouts for you. Just keep your hand up. There are plenty of them. I remember sitting in a workshop session, actually a pastor's conference. We're running out on this side over here, man. There's some more people with their hands up on this side of the building. There's some over here. They have some, I hope. I was in a pastor's conference, and one of the men, and I'm certainly not ridiculing his testimony. I just was interested in it. He was giving a testimony, and he was talking about a new responsibility he had, and he was saying that he had, for the last 6 months, had been over his head. Well, for the last 45 years, I've been over my head, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think you know this, but... If I were not confident as to what God wanted me to preach on, I would be desperate. I don't know what I would do. I mean, I don't know if I came up to a Sunday morning and didn't have a message. I don't know what I would do. I really don't know what I would do. And by the way, it hasn't always been that way. I could come up with a message of some sort. But I guess I have gotten so used to, I believe, understanding what God once said. Now, I may not always say it in a way that the best way. I'm limited in what I do, but I'm always confident that when it's time to come up and preach, that God has given me the message, the direction of what He wants me to say. And I really do my best as the weeks go along to prepare that and to try to get it in a way that would be understandable and a way that would be helpful to you. But I would be desperate. I really mean that. That's not preacher talk. That's really the truth. I was telling one of our men that Charles Spurgeon every Saturday night at 7 o'clock would go into his study. Everybody knew to leave him alone, and then he didn't leave the study till he had his message for the next morning. I've always said I could never do that. I could never wait that long. If it's Saturday night and I don't have a message, I would really be desperate by then, you know. And I don't think that would be a good way to do it. But I know this, I need to learn how to pray better. I need to learn to have God's power. I need to understand God's will. I need to have more wisdom. As my position as a pastor to shepherd this flock, to try to lead you, I mean, it's a great responsibility to know that we have young people in this room that I'm the only pastor they've ever had. That's a scary thought to me, because whatever they have learned in the local church, at least in Atlanta, they've learned from me. And what they haven't learned, I haven't taught them. And that's a scary thing. And I really feel the need to have God's leadership in my life. I feel the need to have God's leadership in my prayer life for you. I do pray for you. I pray for you by name, and I pray for your children. And I really feel I need God's leadership. If I'm to pray effectively for you, if I'm to represent you before the throne of grace as you've asked me to, I really feel like I need to know what God wants to do. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And I want that to be my life. I want to be able to be the kind of person that knows the Lord's voice. I recognize it. And be willing to follow, no matter what that means, no matter what that involves. I want to be willing to do that. Now, the responsibility of mine is because when I go that direction, so do you. And God began to lay on my heart a few months ago, as I said this morning, this matter of prayer. And certainly there are many disciplines in the Christian life that we could all do better. We should study the Bible better, and we should love one another better, and all those things. But I think an area of our lives that we probably as fundamental Christians neglect as much as any other area is a matter of prayer. I think we're better witnesses than we are prayers. I think we teach our classes better than we pray. I'll say this, you know, early on in the days we started this church, I'm not sure exactly why, I can't remember exactly why, but I remember that even in the early days, we only had a few people. I remember on Sunday morning going over to the building that we were renting at the time and praying for the congregation by the roll, by the list, you know. And I think it was one page. It could do it pretty quick. And of course, as God has blessed the church and we've had more and more people, the list gets longer and longer and longer, and that's a good thing. And it was a way that, and I found a couple things. I found that there's probably no better way to prepare my heart to speak to you than for have God speak to me. And I think that's this is about prayer. Tonight we're going to talk about prayer, and I'm going to try as best I can to challenge you and teach you some things. But you know, prayer is not just talking to God. It is drawing close to God and God talking to us. And there is a relationship. And I found, it wasn't something I was necessarily looking for, but as I found, as I gave myself to praying for you, then I was able to be more effective in ministering to you and preaching to you and feeling I could care for you better. God did something in my own heart. And I think that we as Christians, certainly Christians who have some standards and some idea of righteousness and holiness, should do a lot more praying for one another than shooting each other. Now, I'm not opposed to facing people who are in sin. You understand that. That's not a problem to me. But I really think that we have to learn to pray for each other. And I know it's easy to criticize and easy to point out fault, but if we would give ourselves to prayer, I think it'd make a huge difference. First of all, I think it'd change us. And I think then God's hand would be moved. So I would like to say, first of all, that prayer does move the hand of God. Anybody who says it doesn't ignores clear teaching of Scripture. Ask and you receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. That sounds like to me that God's hand is moved by prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then James goes on to say, and Elijah was a man of like passions. And he prayed, and it didn't rain. Sounds like God responded, didn't he? And so, you know, you can go through all over the Bible and all the things that the prayer moves the hand of God. But prayer changes us. And I know that the closer I draw to God and the more time I spend with Him, the more I'm changed. And I trust the better I pray in His will, the better I am able to communicate to you. And so I hope that this week will be the beginning. I know that having a week of prayer means absolutely nothing if we have it and after that everybody goes back to their lives and back to what we always did. So the purpose of having this week of prayer is not just to say we had a week of prayer, but it's hopefully to, first of all, as we've done this morning, to focus on prayer. Tonight we'll focus on prayer. Wednesday night, have a message on prayer I'd like to bring to you to try to teach some things about prayer. But also to develop, at least for this week, a time when you can pray. Now, I know that you can pray at home, and some of you may have to do that, and I'm certainly not opposed to praying anywhere you want to pray. I remember the night before we opened this building. We built it and had it all finished, and we came over here on Saturday night. And I believe the deacons and I were praying together here, as I remember. And one of the things we prayed is what Solomon prayed at the temple. And I know this isn't a temple. This isn't the Old Testament. I know that. But the burden of my heart that day was, Lord, would you meet with us here? Could this be a special place that you'd come and meet with us? And Lord, would you hear the prayers that people pray in this place? If that wasn't an appropriate prayer dispensationally, I think God heard it anyway. And That's why there are a couple things you need to understand. That's why we try to guard this place and keep it nice and try not to let kids run wild in the place. It ought to be a place that's special. I guard this pulpit. I will never, ever have anybody here in this pulpit to preach unless I feel like they can help you and be a good lesson preacher to you. I would never have anybody just because they're somebody's name or somebody they know somebody. Or I never do that, ever. And I think God has honored that, and I think God, this is a special place. I hope you think it is. It is to me. In this day of whatever's going on, God meets with us here. And we enjoy sweet fellowship here. And I think God hears the prayers that are offered here. So I say to you, why not come over here? Come as many times as you can. Men, women, you can come in the morning, evening. We tap two times. So if you're out running around, come over here and pray. If you can come at night, can't come in the daytime, that's fine. If you can come one time, that's fine. I would hope you come more than that, but that's up to you. But I hope this week, whether you come here or not, that you will allow God to teach you some things and perhaps draw you into a place where you feel close to Him and desire to be with Him, to have a hunger for God, a hunger to be close to Him, to hear His voice. I can't emphasize. I wish I could. It's one of those things I just can't say what it would be like if you drew close to God and you felt confident that God was with you and led you. When you read the 23rd Psalm, a passage like that is so well known. We read it, but we don't think about what He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Ask yourself the question, how does He do that? What does that mean? He restoreth my soul. How does He do that? I mean, we sometimes forget that for God to lead us, we must be led. We must be willing to be led. We must be listening to what He says. We must be willing to draw close to Him. So tonight I put up on the, Christine actually prepared a overhead for you. I mean, not an overhead, but a PowerPoint. But I want to go through this with you. It'll not be, I don't think, a long message, but one I think will be helpful. That to give you some scripture to read each day this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesday, I will actually be preaching on that text. I would encourage you to read it before you come. Monday, persistent prayer. It talks about asking and receiving, knocking. Keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on receiving. Now, if you got the insert, you should have that written down. You don't need to write it down. It's there. Tuesday, focus prayer. This passage in Ephesians 6 is the passage at the end of the spiritual warfare armor passage. And he goes on. This is not divorced from that. It is the continuation of spiritual warfare. Praying always for all saints. We have a responsibility to protect each other and to protect ourselves by prayer. And then I'll call it focus prayer, for Paul says, and for me, pray this. And he gave him a specific answer. I think a lot of things, probably the worst problem we have is we don't pray. The second problem is when we do pray, we pray so broadly, we pray so non-thinking that it really doesn't get past the ceiling. You know, think about it. Lord bless the missionaries on the foreign fields. Now, if you were God listening to that prayer, what would you think? I mean, don't you know any missionaries? By the way, I got an email today. We're visiting, Lord willing, next month, Jonathan and Heidi Huff in Togo, West Africa. Heidi is pregnant. We heard that today. She is sick from day one to the ninth month, which means, according to her husband, she will be sick while you're here. So, you know something about Heidi Huff today. And for Jonathan, they have two little girls. So, a good thing to pray for is pray for Jonathan and Heidi and the kids and give them grace and strength and help them not to throw up on my shoes or anything like that. We try to make it so that when our missionaries, we have letters out there every month, and if they send them to us, we put them out there, and Brother Harold Lindsay does that, and we try to keep you up to date. On Wednesday nights, most often, I'll have one or two requests that I have heard that week. Usually, I get a missionary email, one or two a week, and I try to bring you up to date on that. So, pray specifically. So that the first thing is not praying. Secondly, is we just don't pray for specific things. And the reason is we don't know, or we don't think about it, or we don't want to take the time. So we have a focused prayer. Wednesday submissive prayer, I'll let you figure that one out, and I'll preach on it Wednesday night. Personal prayer. It is perfectly fine to pray for your own weaknesses, to pray for your own sin, to pray for God to strengthen you in the areas of your life where you need his help, and that's what Hebrews 4 talks about. Friday is accountable prayer. James 5 makes a kind of an inscrutable statement. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Confess your faults? What does that mean? I think what it means is to make you accountable to somebody else. To say, you know, I'm struggling in this area. Would you pray for me? Would you pray with me about this? And, you know, develop an accountability with someone to pray for you and pray with you about these things. Accountable prayer, making yourself accountable. Matthew 18 says, where two or three are gathered in your midst, I'm in the middle of you if you're praying there. And he says, if you agree on earth touching anything, I'll do it. So again, we're praying with someone. We're agreeing with someone. We're praying together. So what I want to do tonight is give you some practical helps, I think, I hope. And again, please understand, I am not an expert. And this may, I would suggest you try it. You may have a better way. You may, after trying it, you may say, well, I'd rather do it another way. And maybe you have a better way. But let me make a suggestion to you. Simple things are usually the best. With our men, I had several prayer meetings on Saturday night with our men, and I just found these little books like this. They're simple. They're $3. They're just little notebooks. And I suggested to our men who came to pray that we call it a prayer journal, we make it a prayer journal, and that we have a page that would help us to remember for what to pray. I think the church role for me is that list. I happen to have a good memory, and I can remember things that you tell me to pray for and remember your, you know, things, your kids and all those things. But this helps us to jog our memory. So what I would suggest for you is to have pages in this book, and maybe you want to have a couple pages. It's a pretty thick book. You could probably have two or three pages for each one. But for example, to start out with praises. And I'll talk about in a bit of how we do that. Then you might have a page for your immediate family. That would be children, your husband, your wife. A page for your extended family. That would be cousins, uncles, aunts, anybody who's related to you in any sort of way. A page for friends and coworkers. A page for the unsaved. There are 8-9 people in this that come most Sundays that we pray for as a staff every week and many times every day. People that we're burdened for, people that we love, people that are here, that hear the gospel over and over, and we pray for them because we believe that God wants to save them. We're praying that God will hear our prayers. By the way, let me ask you a question. What do you pray for the unsaved? Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to stretch a bit. God save so-and-so. What did you just ask God to do? To violate their will. Are you listening? Now, if you're Calvinistic, you have no problem with that. But I happen to believe that God doesn't come in and snatch anybody up by the neck and save them against their will. Right? So if we say, God save so-and-so, that's probably not a very effective prayer, is it? So what do you pray for them?
God works in situations in their life where people will come into their life to witness to them, that he will use situations to convince them that they need salvation.
Sure. Send somebody across our path to witness to them. Somebody who's a good testimony. Maybe somebody at work or somebody that you don't even know. Or that they would have a situation in their life where they would realize they need Christ. You know, the thing you learn as you witness to people is that circumstances change. And sometimes you talk to somebody and they're not interested at all. And then suddenly they call you up on the phone and say, by the way, I need to talk to you. What's happened? My wife just left me. So what can I do? Well, I need to know what to do. God can change their circumstances. By the way, addiction, alcohol, drugs, whatever, Lord, free them from that addiction. Do whatever it takes to free them from that addiction so that they can be sober, so they can be clear, so they can listen. So just all I'm saying to you is pray. Think about what you're praying. Don't just mouth trite phrases. Personal struggles. Have a page that, you know, and it'd probably be good not to leave this book laying around. Have it someplace where you're alone and write down what is it that you're struggling with. You should know. You should know what God is, where God is leading you, what things He is dealing with your life about. What is it you need for Him to do? Let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he asked for two things. Mercy, Lord, don't treat me the way I deserve to be treated. Everybody say amen. And Lord, give me divine enablement to do what I need to do. Pray about your own personal needs. Mention, by, you know, the more specific you can be. Lord knows them. But you know, why does he ask us to do that? Because he wants us to know that we know them. He knows them. My church. If you were praying for Berean Baptist Church, what would you pray? What kind of things would you want to happen here? What kind of things would you see as important? What would you pray for? Well, I hope you'd pray for the preacher. I hope you'd pray that God would continue to lead me and would help me to develop the messages and be a good leader and a good pastor to you. You can pray for health for the staff and protection for the staff. Those are all things that are important. You could pray for the power of God. I mean, there's nothing we need more than that. If you would pray, God, please, would you meet with us Sunday and speak to our hearts and speak through the Word so that we can draw close to you. Or these people that are unsaved, Lord, they're coming. Pastor told me that people are coming here that are unsaved every week. And Lord, would you please convict them? Would your Spirit, would you come in with your power and your Spirit and would you convict them? Pray for your pastors by name. What would you pray for Pastor Sean if you were wanting to pray for him? What would you pray especially for him? Lord, bless Pastor Sean all the things he has to do. That's kind of lame, isn't it? Missionaries. Again, we try to make it so that every Wednesday night you have a prayer list, and that prayer list has every single missionary that we support. Often that we have a missionary of the week every week, and we put on the board their picture, and we have things about them, and out in the hallway, the missionaries have a box, and their current letters are in there. I hope you take them and read them with your family, and add them to your prayer list, and under their name. By the way, Zane Bachman, who is ministering in a Muslim area in Cameroon, one of the most difficult areas you'd ever imagine, every week lists the villages that he plans to evangelize that week. Would you pray about the, and he usually lists five or six villages. Why not write those names down and pray for those things? Pray for our political leaders. You know, God can change the heart of the king. God can put people into office and take people out of office. That's what God does. And no matter how you look at that politically, pray that God would use, and you know, I pray for our president. The Bible instructs me to do that. And God can touch his heart and can touch the heart of Congress and all these people. We need to pray for them. Your work and financial issues. I hope you'll put on your prayer list the people in our church they're out of work. God has touched my heart about that. I can understand being a man, how it feels. And I just wish you'd pray especially that God would do that. It'd be a wonderful thing. We could rejoice together, couldn't we, if God provides or when God provides employment. That'd be a wonderful thing. Submission issues. Think about the authorities in your life. Who are they? And what is your attitude toward those authorities? Maybe there are some submission issues you need to work on. Maybe there are some people that you work for or work with that you need to get that straightened out in your heart. Isn't it interesting, isn't it, that bitterness is taking poison, hope the other person dies? And so sometimes we carry around a hatred or a anger or a resentment, and the only person who suffers is me. Submission issues. Goals and desires. I hope you have some. Hope you think in your heart, you know, I'd like to do this. I'd like to be able to do that. I want to go on a mission trip. You know, sometime I want to go on a mission trip. Or I'd like to be able to sing in the choir. By the way, we need sopranos. Anybody a soprano not singing in the choir? Why don't you sign up? What are your goals and desires? What is it that God has put in your heart? We have young people going off to college. We have Mitch Jones and his family created this web radio. What a wonderful thing to do. I mean, good, wholesome goals and desires that would matter for God. So use a little book like this. By the way, if you want one of these, so you can start working on it before you get over here to pray, they'll be at the Welcome Center. My wife will be out there. You can get one. If you don't have $3, you can borrow it from Trent here. He has money, so you can borrow from him. So $3. And we're only making $2.95 on it, so don't worry about it. So get the pages in your prayer journal. Now, I want to suggest, that, again, please, this is not set in stone. It's just something I was thinking about how we could maybe this week get into a habit or maybe something that would be good, a routine that would help us in our prayer life. I think that's why I gave you scripture reading every day. I think it's a wonderful thing to read scripture. You know, scripture and prayer are absolutely tied together. If you love the scriptures, you love the Lord of scripture. If you pray, your heart will be turned to the Bible. And you'll begin to understand and remember. Another thing I want to recommend to you, this is not in your notes, but something that has been such a blessing to me. As you read, and I hope you read good books. I hope that, you know, of all the books in the world, pick good books to read. And I find so often that God uses good books to even either direct me or to give me information that I'm going to need down the road. And I don't always understand why I read a certain book, but I do, and it always seems like it's something that God wants me to hear, and it helps me. So get in the habit of reading good books. But when you come into the time of prayer, I would hope you would just read Scripture. This week, I'd perhaps read these passages, but in other weeks, read a psalm or something that God directs your mind. Maybe something you've been thinking about or a passage that God has put on your heart. That's how messages happen to me. You know, this is a passage, and sometimes I have no idea why that is important or that God wants me to talk about that, but you go to that passage, you begin to read it, you begin to think about it and meditate on it and try to figure out what it is that God once said. Secondly, praises. That's why the first page in your book can be praise. Spend a few minutes thanking the Lord for the things He does for us, and we need to be thankful for the little things too. The fact that you're here and you're well and, you know, you have somebody who loves you. I mean, there are all kind of things, if you think about it, that you can praise God for and thank Him for. God doesn't owe us anything, but He chooses to love us. And He gives us so much, so learn to praise Him. And then I would say, because of just the practicality of the time, to pray for 3 pages. Now, I say that assuming you have this number of pages. That you not try to pray for the entire prayer list unless you just really have a lot of time, but I would assume most of you would have a limited amount of time. But I would say pray for the first 3 pages. And then the second day, pray for the second 3 pages. And the third day, the third 3 pages until you get through all the pages. Ask God for leadership in prayer for each item. Expect God to answer and write down what comes to mind. Now, this is the hardest thing for me to explain, and I don't know if you buy it or if you don't buy it, but let's say friends and coworkers. Let's say you got a page that says friends and coworkers. So you say, now, Lord, who do you want me to pray for? If a name pops in your head, write it down. If a coworker's name or somebody's name, write it down in your prayer book. Now, Lord, what do you want me to pray for? Well, they're unsaved. Okay, pray for that. Lord, you know, talk about that. Or maybe somebody who works with you. We've had several requests on our prayer list about somebody who is sick. Maybe they have cancer or the wife has cancer. But the idea is that as we go through this list, wait before the Lord to see what He wants you to pray for, who He wants you to pray for. We have a prayer list every Wednesday night. This is a trick question. How many of you pray for every single request on that prayer list in the Wednesday night prayer time? Well, you can't possibly do it. There are too many, right? So how do you choose what to pray for? Well, I would suggest that you choose what God lays on your heart. Does this ever happen to you? You're sitting here on Wednesday night, and first of all, you probably come in early, and you like I do, and you read through the prayer list. And sometimes one of those things will, you know, that's important. Or maybe when someone gives a prayer request, you hear it, and you think to yourself, boy, that's important. I need to pray for that. That is, in my judgment, the leadership of God. So as you are there, let God speak to you and write down what he says. Now, this is radical. I know it is. And you're going to be, you know, you're going to be looking around for the, you know, what is it? But I'm talking about you let God lead you in how you pray. Romans 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That the word there means weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Would you agree with that? The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So ask the Spirit of God to help you. So to write down the things. Remind me of the unsaved friends for whom I should pray. And I said this specifically. How should I pray for Christine McLaughlin? Well, do you know where Christine is? Where is she? The Ivory Coast. Now, just off the top of your head, if you're praying for a single woman in the Ivory Coast, what might you pray for? Huh?
Safety,
absolutely. That country is a dangerous place. Pray for Christine's safety. Read her prayer list. She's going out into villages and having Bible schools for these children. Pray, Lord, that God would help her with her Bible schools and that she'd have wisdom about selecting the materials and teaching properly and all those kind of things. Let God lead you about this. And as you go through the list, look for things and ask God, be very open to God's leadership. And I said, of course, pray for specific things, not forgive us for our many sins. That's kind of an interesting one, isn't it? Now, as you finish your prayer time, first of all, thank God for hearing it. How can we do that? Why do we do that? Why can we thank him for hearing us? Because he does. It's an amazing thing. It's a marvelous thing that God hears us, and thank him for that. Thank him that you listen to our prayers. That we're not just here going through the vain motions here. We are praying and you're hearing us. Secondly, acknowledge his love. Lord, I know that as you look down on me today, you love me and you care about me and you know you want the best for me. And Lord, I thank you for just loving me because I know I'm not very lovely at times. And I want to thank you for your love for me. And then thank for his wisdom. Lord, even though I've listed several things here and several people to pray for, I know you have great wisdom. And you only want the best for us because you love us. But sometimes the answers you might send are not the answers that I would want. But I understand that you're wise and you understand the right answer. And Lord, I thank you for that. Now, as your knowledge of God grows, you can add to these characteristics of God that you praise him for, you thank him for. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? The immutability of God. Aren't you glad that God is eternal? William Muncy said, until angels sing funeral dirges over the grave of God, I'll be in heaven forever. My friend, angels are not going to sing funeral dirges over the grave of God, ever. So as we know him more, as we know more about him, we can thank him for more than these things. But thank him for, acknowledge his power. Now, I challenge you, encourage you, and by the way, purposely submit to his will. In this morning's message, it says, with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. That little phrase is very important to proper prayer because with thanksgiving means that we are submitting to his answer before it ever comes. We're submitting to what he decides is best. Now, that's why this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that we're going to deal with Wednesday night is so important to me and I think so helpful. To understand this concept. Paul prayed for something. I better watch out, I'll preach my message, you won't come Wednesday night. But to acknowledge, to submit to that, his will, even if it isn't what I prayed for. What did Paul pray for? Take away the thorn. Did God take away the thorn? But he thanked God for not taking away the thorn, didn't he? So learning to submit to the will of God. Lord, if you don't answer it the way I want you to, if you don't give me what I'm asking for, teach me to learn to submit to your will and be happy that you have answered, that you have done what you know is best. So I hope that this week you will find time. I hope that all of you will find time at least one time. I hope more than one time to come over and to pray. The building will be open from 10 to noon and from 6 to 8. There'll be others here praying, I trust, at that time. You can come in and pray by yourself. That's fine. You can do whatever is helpful. You can find someone else to pray with, whatever. But I trust you will begin tonight and tomorrow to prepare your heart and to read the scriptures, to make your prayer book up, your journal. I begin to think about the... by the way, this topic list is not exhaustive. There are many more things you could put on here. I just gave you some ideas to kind of let you know where we're headed here. But begin to seriously. You know, if you had to ask God for the church, what would you pray for Berean Baptist Church? What would your prayer be? And let God lead you and pray for those things. If there are things you don't like, pray that we'll be smart enough to understand what's right and best. Let God lead you in your prayers. And I think if we humble ourselves before God, and really, excuse me for saying this again, I think the reason we don't pray is because we don't think we need to. We feel self-sufficient. We think we've got it under control. Now, if we get out of control, we pray then. If this is something I can't deal with, I'll pray then. But my friend, we need God every day. Amen. And if you haven't figured that out yet, you will. You're raising a little one. Amazing how children drive you to your knees, isn't it? Sickness, those kind of things. They're something we can't deal with. We can't fix it. So I trust this week will be a week of introspection, a week of consecration, a week when you take the time, if you can't come over here, or you can't come over here but maybe once or twice, the other days that you can't come here, that you'll spend time alone with the Lord. I don't know how long this would take. I really don't have any idea. I think it depends on you and how much time you're willing to donate tonight to that. But it would take some time. And it might take a half an hour. It might be longer than that. But I know that time spent with the Lord is never wasted time. And when we prepare our hearts for the day by spending time alone with the Lord, our day is better. And we're able to face the challenges of the day better. And we're able to walk with more confidence. We're able to be more satisfied with our life and less complaining about what God sends to us. We are aligning our heart with God. Really, praying by faith is aligning ourselves up with God. And that's why prayers work, and that's why we don't like to do it. Because frankly, folk, we don't know how to pray often. And so we have to pray until God shows us. And again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is a great lesson in that, of how Paul had to line himself up with God before he could be content. And if our hearts are filled with lack of contentment, that's what we saw this morning in the message. We won't have the peace of God. So let's trust this to be a great week of prayer. And I trust that you'll be able to draw close to God, and that next week perhaps we'll be able to share some testimonies about what God did in our hearts. Father, we do thank you for the great privilege of praying. We cannot approach you and would not approach you on our own merit, for we have nothing to commend ourselves except for your love. And Lord, you've asked us to come. You've asked us to pray. You said if we come, we'll find mercy, and Lord, we need mercy. And you've told us that we'll find grace, and we need your grace. So would you help us as a church this week, as individuals, to come before your throne, to spend time with you. Show us, help us, Lord, just to demonstrate our love for you, that we're willing to spend time with you. And I pray the Lord you would do a great work in our hearts this week as we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.